stand.
What love could remember, no wrongs we have done. Omniscient, all-knowing, he counts not their sum. Thrown into a sea without bottom or shore. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Oh, what patience would wait as we constantly roam. What Father so tender is calling us home. He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord, his mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Riches of kindness he lavished on us. His blood was the payment, his life was the cost. We stood neath the debt we could never afford. Our sins, they are many, his mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. Stronger than darkness, new every morn. Our sins, they are many. His mercy is more. Our sins, they are many. my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior. Submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, and with His good. Lost in His love. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my Savior all the day long. Let's sing that again. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long, praising my Savior all the day long. Thank you, Lord. It is our honor to praise you for who you are and for what you've done for us, and nothing that we have done ourselves or could have ever done ourselves. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for allowing us to worship you in a way that we wouldn't be able to without you. And Father, I pray for Rick as he brings the message today, that you would speak through him and enlighten our minds and renew our hearts. And I pray that you would go with us through the rest of the week and hold on to what he's taught us today. Father, thank you that we could meet and worship you today. Thank you for all of the health that we have, and we pray for those who may be struggling with that right now, Lord, that you would touch them and heal them. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Give me 1 second to take off my in-ears because it sounds weird to talk through them. Thank you. It's great to have you here today. Welcome to Cornerstone if you're joining us online. Hey, how you doing? Pastor Nate is not here today. He is on his way to Word of Life Bible Camp with I don't know how many campers, but quite a few from what I understand. So pray for them for their safety on their trip today. Rick is going to be bringing our message. We do have a question of the day. When you are 80, what will matter most to you? That's a good question. So talk amongst yourselves. Kids, if you're third grade or under, you can go down to Children's Church.
All right. Good morning, Cornerstone. Good morning. Good to see so many bright, smiling faces. I hope you're all still smiling when I'm done here. That's one of my goals. So, If you don't know me, I am not Pastor Nate. I am not a pastor at all, really. I know. It comes as a shock, especially to those who are here every day. We look very much alike. I am Rick Hadley. I teach German from 7th through 12th grade here in the district in Kutztown. And every so often, Pastor Nate's not here, and he keeps making the poor decision to let me have the mic and stand in front. So he's done it again. And this time, 2 weeks in a row, I couldn't condense it, so I got next week too. Sweet. So I had lots of ideas for what to do for my message this year. I couldn't really focus on just one of them. Every time I tried to narrow it down, something new just kind of blew my mind about who God is, what he's done for me, and just his nature in general. So this message here is going to be called Marvel, and it's kind of like a greatest hits for me, at least at the moment, of things that just blow my mind about our Creator, our God. And how awesome he is. And it's my goal that you're still smiling at the end. That's one of them. Also, I hope that everybody gets at least one goosebump moment. I have a whole bunch of those coming my way, I think. Again, this is my greatest hits. And hopefully something, too, that you can take with you throughout the week to lift you up and embolden you, perhaps. So I'm gonna pray for us right now so I can kind of dial me in, because again, this stuff gets me a little fired up. I think this is just awesome stuff. So I'm going to try and make sure that's accessible to you. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity to speak on your behalf. I pray that you would give me good things to say and say them in a way that is understandable and accessible. You are unbelievably, incredibly awesome, and it's just kind of a natural thing to marvel at you and what you've done and what you continue to do and what you will do. So I pray, Lord, that you would, again, give me good things to say and send your Spirit here to speak to everyone as only he can, in your name. So I should have clicked already. Oh, Shannon clicked for me. You're the best. So, again, I all kinds of stuff I wanted to share. 2 weeks still isn't quite enough. So if you want, you can write some of these down. I'll show this again at the end. I know it doesn't mean a whole lot to you right now. But these are some great resources where if you like had your interest piqued in something I shared today, or if you just want to explore on your own, you can look into these. Answersingenesis.org, it's basically that, but it's kind of got a science-y twist to it. There's all kinds of science stuff in Genesis. Atheistic scientists have been trying to disprove God for years and years and years, and all they keep doing is coming back to exactly what God said in Genesis. And, you know, proof is a funny word in science. You don't really say proof, but they keep demonstrating that God knows what he's talking about and he is real, even though they're trying to disprove his existence. They're also on YouTube. That's the second one there. And there's a YouTube video that I've shown here before, and I think, Joanna, you've probably seen it like 5 times. But it's a Jewish scientist who uses a kind of recent discovery to show how, again, atheistic scientists have been trying to disprove God for years and years. You've heard of the Big Bang, I assume, right? And they had this big crunch idea where there was infinite, you don't need a God, and things just keep getting bigger and smaller and bigger and smaller, bang, crunch, and you don't need a God. Well, that's no longer accepted in the scientific community, and the video shows why. He does a great job. Dr. Frank Turek, he's an author and a speaker. He's also on YouTube. He's probably my favorite right now. He does a lot of like conferences, he does speeches, and then he has Q&As afterwards. And the way he counters all these lies that people have been fed through society, and we come up with lies on our own too, but all those lies that people just kind of try and throw at him to disprove God, he stays very calm, he's very, very loving with it, but he just knows his stuff. So I can recommend him. And the Bible Project, I'm working through it with Zach and Juniper, my kids, right now. And it's accessible, it goes through the whole Bible, and it's got animations, and it's just a great way to interact with it. Two minutes, I said that already, we got this there, and remember, I'm a teacher, not a preacher, so feel free to raise your hand, interactions are encouraged, makes me feel like I'm doing what I know to do, right? Teach. So, let's start at the beginning. Genesis 1:1. Do we know it? In the beginning, who? God did what? Created. What did he create? There you go, right? First test, you passed. Simple enough, right? And there it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Your first note, if you're keeping up, is Elohim. That's the blank on the top left there. And Elohim means, anybody know? God the Creator. Well done. It's in the notes too. Elohim. And there's your Hebrew right there for Elohim. I'm going to have a bunch of Hebrew up here throughout the day. By the way, it's not easy to put Hebrew into English text, right? Anybody know why? Not just because I had to copy and paste, but... Yeah, you would not believe the stuff that PowerPoint and Word try and do. Like all of a sudden you're tapping right, and then all of a sudden it's going left, and then it's like jumping over lines and stuff. It was crazy. Just absurd. So Elohim. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are no real fancy words, right? Like two syllables, max. We all understand it, right? Simple. But it raises some questions, okay? Is God really who he claims to be? Did he really create? What's the beginning? What are heavens and earth? And also, oftentimes people ask, what was there before, right? Well, what was there before God created the universe? Simply put, there was God, right? Was there a universe? Were we here? Were there plants, trees, air, space, any of that? Nothing, right? Nothing. There you go. Seems simple enough, right? God created everything when there was literally nothing. Now, try and think about nothing. You can close your eyes if you... Let's close your eyes. All right. Think about nothing. And keep your eyes closed because I don't want you guys like judging each other. Anybody got it? You think you got it? You got nothing? Nice. Nobody had their hands up. That's the right response. All right, you can open your eyes. Think about nothing. What is nothing? It's no thing. That makes it a thing. Therefore, you can't think about nothing because when you think about nothing, you're thinking about a thing. All right? All right, keep that idea in your mind there. You can't conceive of things that don't exist in this the parameters of our universe, right? An example, try and think up a new color. It's going to be some variation of red, yellow, and blue, right? Like with a shade to it. You can't think up a new color. You can mix things that already exist. We can create that way. The kind of creating that God, Elohim, God the Creator, did is very different, right? So, stage is set now for this right here. What's a trinity? Three things, right? Three things existing in one, like a category or three parts of a whole, right? There are six. I counted six. There might be more. I don't know. This is what I found so far. Six trinities in the first sentence of the Bible. All right? How many words are up there? Count them. In the beginning. Ten words. Six trinities. That's more than a trinity every other word included in that first sentence. Just one sentence. Right? If you're God, you're going to start off a big book, right, about revealing yourself. You might as well go in with a bang, a big bang, as it were. So, six trinities. Let's start easy. God himself is here, right? In the beginning, God. That's a trinity. What are the parts of the trinity? First part, God the Father, and then the Son, and the Holy Spirit. There you go. We got one. That's one trinity. There are six. God is a storyteller, right? You heard that? That's a storyteller. He puts his mark on his creation. So what makes sense to me, right, as we're going through this, if you find things that relate back to God, that it's him showing us that he made it, okay? So we've got, was I supposed to click there? Yes, I was. Okay. So we have the composition of the universe revealed. And can you see the colors? Can you make them out? That's orange, we got like a purple, and then green. So, in the beginning, what would that be? At the start, then you have after the beginning. Say it again.
Middle.
The middle, and the end. All right, that's another one. Maybe I should put seven up there next time. Beginning, middle, and end. What's that called? We have a beginning, we have seconds, minutes, carrying on. Time, right? So we start with time, okay? In the beginning, God's telling us he created what? Time, right? It says beginning, but that's time, right? Think of a ray. Start, time. Now we're in time, right? The next one, heavens. Think volume. Not like the stars and the moon and everything.
Space.
Time and space. It's there, right? Think about it. It's there. He's telling us he created time. He created space. How about earth? I don't think just earth. Matter. That's science-y, isn't it? That's what he's telling you. He created time, he created space, and he created matter. So he created matter, stuff, right? You can't have stuff if you don't have a place to put stuff. And what's the point of having stuff if it's just suspended in animation, right? You have moments rolling into other moments and other moments continually. That's called time. Things can happen with the stuff in the space. There you go. In groups, turn to somebody near you. If you just have like a little, if you got a pretty big family group, that's cool too. Try and talk about the trinities within time, space, and matter. They all are trinities. Right? You want a hint? I'll give you a hint. So God, right, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, with time, I'm not going to give you a hint there. I'll let you do that one on your own. For space, think volume. You mathy geography? No. What's that sign?
Geometry.
Geometry fans out there, think volume, right? And then matter might be the toughest, but think science-y. Three things about matter. Three ways it can exist. I'll give you like a minute. See if you can come up with them. Time, space, matter. Ready, go. Yeah. What do you get? What do you got? All right, I heard some good stuff. I think some of you guys have some right answers. And I also learned a few things. I'm going to have Nate share what he said in a minute here. Nate Burns, not Pastor Nate. Okay, so where am I? Here, got to click. Let's start with time. Three facets of time, three parts of time. Past, present, future. One, two, three. Right? Triune nature of time. Next, we have space. Volume. Length, width, height. One, two, three. Oop, I just zapped somebody in the eyes, I think. That works, yeah. Length, width, height. One, two, three. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Length, width, height. Past, present, future. And the next one. If you ask me, it's the toughest. You guys came up with some really creative stuff. Nate, what? I didn't have this, but you're right. What do they make up? Atoms. The atom is triune in nature. That didn't occur to me, right? I heard what I was going for here. I think it was Joyce. Matter exists in three phases: solid, liquid, and gas. Boom. How about it? How about that? Also, there's more, right? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Right? Got it. Move on. No, there's more, right? The omnis. What am I going for with those? Anybody know? Yes, that's one of them. Omnipresent. That's my first one. And then? Omniscience and omnipotence, right? So here they are. Omnipresence, omnipotence, and omniscience. Three, yeah. Yep, three. The three of them. It's God's nature, right? So omnipresence, where is that in Genesis 1:1? God, we can assume, but it's more explicit than that even. Beginning. At the very beginning. We weren't here, but he was. There at the beginning. Omnipresence. Omnipotence. Created, right? You created all things. You're powerful enough to create all things. You're all powerful, right? And now the omniscience. I think I heard it over here. This one's kind of implicit. If you created it all, you surely know it all. Right? Know your creation, the three omnis. God's nature is in there too. Right? His being, the three persons. You got time, you got space, you got matter, and then you got this too. And I said six, right? What's the sixth? That's kind of, these are kind of standalone, I guess. It's a trinity of trinities. Huh? Look at it. It's all right there. 10 words. All that. It's crazy. It's crazy stuff. Okay. So, do we have any language fans? Fans of language? You don't have to necessarily like writing. If you be a wordsmith like Nate over here, you could like reading. You could like reading poetry. Who likes reading? Okay. All right. Who likes science? Who likes both? I like them both. There's something for everyone coming up right here. Science plus literature, right? Language. So we got Yahweh Elohim here. Yahweh is coming up a little bit later. Elohim, creator. Yahweh Elohim means Lord God, the creator, right? Yahweh is God's personal name. Shared it with Moses in the burning bush. So Genesis 2:4 is the first mention, and he's identifying his sovereignty over creation when he says Yahweh Elohim, right? So Elohim, God the creator, Yahweh Elohim, Lord over the creation. Make sense? Okay, so he puts his fingerprints on his work. We know this already, right? All the trinities in the first sentence of the Bible there, time, space, matter, the trinity of trinities, you got all those parts. So he also puts his name in your DNA. Some of you guys know this. I think, Phil, you introduced me to this one, right? So how is that even possible, right? Artists. Do artists typically write their name on their work? Yes, right? It's their work. They're proud of their work. They want people to know it's their work. Put their name on it, whether it's on the front, on the back, on the side, whatever. Their name's in there somewhere, right? So God, let me bump ahead here. Okay, so DNA, we're familiar with DNA, right? It's genetic code. It's like instructions for making things, right? All living things, not just people, not plants, right? Everything. So he wrote his name in your DNA, and I'm going to show you how. Nucleic acids, we don't have to go too deep into that. They're just basically like letters. If you think letters in a word, right? It's the letters in the words that are DNA. So you have these sulfur bridges. Sulfur bridges hold the thing together, right? Simple enough, and they have a repeating pattern, okay? So you have 10 of these letters, right? And then you have a sulfur bridge. And then you have 5, and you have a sulfur bridge. And then you have 6, you have a sulfur bridge, and 5, and you have a sulfur bridge, and it repeats. 10, 5, 6, 5, 10, 5, 6, 5, throughout all of creation, not just people, right? All of DNA, the very instructions, the fabric of life, okay? So let's go ahead and figure out what that might possibly mean, right? That's cool and all. I think I clicked twice. 10, 5, 6, 5. So 10, this is the Hebrew alphabet, right? Remember, it goes right to left. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And think like Roman numerals. They also use these to represent numbers, right? Like all the time. Like these were their numbers, okay? So if we have 10, what does that put us? Where does that put us here? Yod, right? We got Yod. That's what it looks like in Hebrew. And then we have a 5. That puts us at hey, right? Hey. And then we have a 6. Vav. That's right here. Vav. There it is. And then we go back again to number 5 and we have hey. You see it? Yod, hey, vav, hey. Yod, hey, vav, hey. Yahweh. 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 Again. And again and again throughout everything that's alive on the planet. That's his name in you. How crazy is that? Mike, God wrote his name on you. It is crazy. Sylvana, right? Gavin, my man, good to see you. Put his name in, not just in us, in all of creation. It's his. Man. So, my point here is you, right? You plural, every one of you, we are all children of God, right? We matter. This existence is not just some random colossal fart, right? some cosmic fart that nothing created, and what's the point of being here? It's all a mistake, and we're going to die, and nothing happened anyway. Not the case, right? God has written his name in your DNA. You matter to him. You are one of God's image bearers. But wait, there's more. Make sure we are where I think we are. Okay. Remember how I was saying that Hebrew goes what direction? In English, we read it left to right. Why? Is it just weird? Is this nonsense? Is this random? I don't think so. I don't think so. Get in groups again. Come up with as many languages as you can think of that go, you guys are left to right and then right to left. See what you can come up with. I'll give you like another minute. Okay, some of you guys are still talking. Some of you guys have been done for a few seconds. So, all right, Zach, what do you got? What do you give me? Left to right, right to left? German goes left to right. Japanese right to left. Very good. What else we got? You guys were talking. I know you got more. Matt, what'd you get?
Arabic?
Arabic goes
right to left.
Correct. What else goes right to left? We got Arabic. We've got Hebrew, we've got Chinese, you got Japanese, you got Korean back in the day, they switched. Back in the day, they did. Okay, how about left to right?
All the Romance languages.
All the Romance languages. French, Italian, right, Portuguese, Spanish. Germanic languages, Spanish. Swedish, German, all them, right? Here's what I came up with. So Germanic, Latin, Romance, Greek, Russian, Mayan, the Incan quipus, they're really cool. They're like little tassels, like strings, and they put knots in them, and they tell stories with the knots in the strings, but they go left to right, okay? Left to right for you guys. No, wait. Left to right. Doing stuff backwards too much. And then right to left, we have a bunch of languages like Japanese, Chinese, right? You got Sumerian, ancient Sumerian, Phoenician, Korean back in the day. You had a mental picture in your mind of a map of the world, right? Like we typically see, you have like Europe in the center, and then you got the Western Hemisphere, Eastern Hemisphere. Where are those languages located? Where do they originate from? In the West. How about these? In the East. Which way are these ones pointing? From West to left to right, West to East. How about these? They're in the East, and they're pointing from right to left, East to West. What's in the middle? Some of you got there. Jerusalem. Is it the center? Our written words point to the fulfillment of God's word. Huh? I'm going to leave that one there. I got goosebumps. I hope somebody got goosebumps with me. All right. There's more. Next thing you want to write down, and you can write down anything you want, obviously, but this is the next one I got for you. Yahweh. You already mentioned that one. It means I am, right? So I'm going to be honest with you right now. At first, I was unimpressed. You know, like you're reading, like there's this burning bush, and there's Moses, and he sees a bush burning, and he's watching it, and it's not burning up, but it's burning, and then this voice comes out, Moses! Whoa! Right? He's bugging. It's like freaking out. Like, what a story! And it's like, I am. Well, couldn't you, like, pick something better, right? Like, creator and destroyer of universes, right? I am, like, what are you? Like, what are you doing here? So, I'll be honest with you. The first, like, I don't know how long it was before I came to understand really what God's getting at here. I was like, this is just anticlimactic, right? My name is I am. Okay, sure, right? So, there it is, Exodus 3:14, God's personal name. That's where he first uses it. It is used a lot. a lot. If you look, you can look now if you want, in the Old Testament especially, anytime you see Lord, capital L, and then the lower, little smaller capital O-R-D, that's Yahweh in Hebrew, right? So it's a lot. It's used 5,264 times in the Old, I think it's the Old Testament. Might be all of it. Either way, that's a lot, right? So clearly it's a little more important, a little more meaningful than I gave it credit for anyway. So I am comes from which verb? To be. How often do you use a form of to be every day? To be, I am, you are, he, she, it, is, am, are, is, were, was, has been, have been, any of those. Where do you think you use that in the ranking of the verbs you use? Is it the number one verb you use every day, 2, 3, 10? It's number one. And it's not just in your language, it's in everybody's language, right? It's talking about the very existence of things, okay? Most common verb in all language, it's at your core of your existence, God simply is. All right? God is. Give me some stuff. What is God? God is all the omnis. God is omniscient, omnipresent, and omnipotent. What else?
Eternal.
Yeah. What else? Yahweh is. Okay. I can tell you some stuff about me, right? I am a man. I am Rick. Hi. I am a German teacher. I am a husband. I am a father. I am 6 feet tall still, I hope. You start shrinking. That's what happens. I am 41 years old, right? I am standing here in front of you all delivering a message, right? What is God? Here's some stuff I came up with. God is. When he says, I am, he's saying, I am past, present, future. I am omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. I am creator. I am love, right? He is with us. He is in love with us. That's crazy. How often do we just spit in his face? Every day. Don't even mean to. Like, I'm probably sitting right now. I don't even know it. Right? Still, he chooses me. He wants a relationship with me. God is not silly or lacking, right? Eat my words. How's that humble pie taste? Not so great. He is, right? God is the ultimate authority in the universe. What happens when we omit that ultimate authority, though? We got free will, right? We can choose our way. Doesn't change anything, except for what maybe happens to us, right? What happened in the garden when God's authority was omitted? And this, I'm not going to lie, I kind of marvel at the deception a little bit. I don't know if that's wrong. It's quite the deception, right? And we could probably spend a whole sermon series just talking about how Satan twisted words and got Adam and Eve to start thinking the thoughts that led them to make their choice. It's crazy. Like, it wasn't really even a fair fight, it doesn't feel like. And you know what he was doing, right? We'll get into one little aspect of it. So what happens when we forget God is in charge? Kids know they come from parents, right? Think about it this way maybe for a second. If kids hold respect for the authority of good parents, things go how for them? Better or worse, usually? Better, right? You got good parents, you listen to them. Typically, better things are going to happen to you. If the authority aspect of parents is ignored, parents are treated simply as creators only, kids are left in charge. There are plenty of parents in here to tell you all about what would happen if kids were just in charge. That ain't pretty. It's not great, right? So how does Satan take this into account? Think about the names. Do you guys see it now, where I'm going? So we're talking about Elohim, right? It's God the creator, right? When you put Yahweh Elohim in front of it, he's no longer just the creator, but Lord God, Lord over creation. What do you see here? So here we have what, Lord God? And then when Satan speaks, what does he, leave out? The Lord aspect. He leaves God's authority out. He leaves his personal name out, right? Did God really say? And what does Eve do? Does she correct him? No. Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh. She just says, Elohim. What did he do? He just took God's authority out. Maybe you, the kid, could be the authority. What do you think, Eve? Adam's standing there. Durr. I don't know. What do I do? Right? So here they are. Lord God, Yahweh Elohim, God. All this here, they start talking about just the creator, not Lord over creation. Right? So is he just creator or is he Lord as well? And give me a second here, sorry. So, I guess in the interest of time, I was going to have you guys do a thing, but that's fine. Some examples I came up with of what happens when we subtly, maybe not so subtly, leave the Yahweh part out of Yahweh Elohim, right? We try and control others when we know what's best for them, right? Parents do this. I do it sometimes. Like, I know what my kid's doing is wrong. Just got to get them to do the right thing, right? How do I force them? Got to make them, right? I'm not God. I can't force. He doesn't force. He's God. He doesn't even force us to do stuff. He presents us with choices, right? Praying for easy things to come our way. Right? I'm trying to move my kids past this now. Lord God, thank you that we had a good day. Maybe we can have a good day tomorrow. Thank you. Right? It's not a bad thing to want good things to happen, right? But it's not ours to say, I want easy now, right? Whole sermon on that too. Praying for good things to come our way when we want them and the way we want them. Right? I want this now. I need that promotion. I can't pay my bills. Give me that house. Right? It's not bad stuff necessarily, but who's in charge? Is he Lord God creator? Is he in charge of time, space, and matter? Right? Is his time stamp on all of this? Is his signature in your DNA? Who's in charge? Right? And can I be real for a second? Not tithing? Right? I'm going to hold on to this. I didn't tithe for a long time. And even when I was tithing, I was like, God, you're going to bless me this way while I'm tithing. Right? No. No, I did that wrong for decades. And it's not just money. This isn't in my notes, but it's not just money coming your way if you tithe. Right? It's posturing yourself. And I had the option at our old church, not this one, to go automated payments with the tithe. And I thought about it for a second. I was like, man, I really forget a lot of stuff. I'm going to forget to tithe one of these times. That's a good idea. And then I thought about it for another second. I was like, no, what's the point? It's not to just have something take care of my stuff for me and fix my heart. A bank isn't going to put my heart right with God. I got to make that choice every week. I don't see how the money's coming in. I don't see how I'm going to be able to pay bills. Boom, 10% right to you. Just do it. That wasn't in here, but I feel like it's very important. It's kind of near and dear to my heart. So, okay, let's go a little farther down this horror story rabbit hole here. Just a little bit. So, husband versus man. It's not in all your translations. The NIV does a good job here, and I'll show you in a second here. But husband turns into man. So we have God's image bearers here, Adam and Eve, right? The first two. They're supposed to be God's light and represent him to creation and you know, take care of things and all that. And a little aside here, I think this is too perfect not to share. I was texting somebody, it might have been Nate, and you know, autocorrect doesn't always get it right. So I said something about God's image bearers, but it corrected it to beaters. I just thought that was great. So accurate. Right? So turn to somebody next to you and ask them, hey, are you bearing God's image today or beating it? Turn to do it. I got to take a drink anyway. Are you bearing God's image or beating it? I'd say most of us probably more often beat it than bear it, but yeah, that's where his grace comes in. So This concept of God's image bearers, right, is so important, and it's so lost in society today. It represents our special connection with God, our value in him, right? We're precious to him. He created us with a special purpose. We are not like the rest of creation. We are created, but we're not like the plants, right, or the apes, or the whatever, right? We're special. We are special to him. Our nature, why we do the things we do, right? The lie there that pulled us away from him, and if you think about God's broken image bearers, we're trying to be God. We want power. How often do we lose our minds and have anxiety when the situation is out of our control, right? Nothing's out of his control. Lots of stuff's out of our control, just about everything. I control what I say and to an extent what I feel, mostly what I do, right? And it also explains why Satan would hate us so much. Satan's a higher created being, man. He's an interdimensional being of immense power. And what does he get from God? Hell, right? What do we get from God? Co-heirs with Christ. We get the crown, baby. We're a little squishy, fleshy, pink, and you know, brownish, and like whatever. We got different colors and different sizes, but we're squishy. What can we do? I can't jump between dimensions. I don't have a flaming sword, right? I can't just like make things happen. Demons can. Makes sense. Okay, so getting back to this. Adam, or Adam, is put in charge of the Garden of Eden. The word that's first used is husband, right? And as a verb, it can also mean to manage, right? To cultivate, to basically be in charge of a thing, right? So Adam is put in charge of naming all the animals. He's keeping things. He's making new things within the parameters of, you know, the creation and all. And so it's good. He's the husband. But if you look, husband in Genesis 3:6 turns into man. And I'll show you the Hebrew too. The woman here, that's it in Hebrew, ha isa, that's the woman. Ha is the, isa is woman. And the husband, right, her, right, so it's as it's worded grammatically, it's her, so not the. So le isa, how similar are they? I noticed that too. I didn't know it before, but when I was researching this for this here, that's really close, right? Think about how they were one, really, right? Two halves of a whole, right? And then after that, what happens? She gives some to her husband, and he ate of it too, and now he's no longer qualified to be called the manager. Title stripped, right? Paradise lost. He's not Le'isah, he's not her husband anymore. Now he's the dolt who stood by and watched her get deceived. When something in him knew, this is not right, but I want to test it out, right? Don't we all do that too? That's not just big on Adam here, right? We do it too. I'm sure I do it every day, right? And as a little aside here, my poor darling wife, when she was in college, she had a professor who tried to convince all the ladies in the class that Eve was the reason that this whole thing fell apart and that women are evil and that women are the reason that we're broken, and if God hadn't created Eve, that men would have been just fine, right? That guy's a creep, and he should read his stuff. And I wanted to say some other stuff too, but I'm out of time, and also I'm being recorded, so watch this small, narrow, misogynist brain creep. All right, moving along. So this is how it's set up with the names, in case you hadn't picked up on that. They're all the names, right? So we had Elohim, God the Creator, Yahweh, I Am, and now the last note there is El Shaddai. It's one of my favorites. Sounds cool, is cool. El Shaddai means God Almighty, right? God Almighty. So for me, the best way to picture this, maybe you have a different way, right? The Holy Spirit speaks to each of us. We're all individual people. For me, the best way to wrap my mind around El Shaddai is to think about those higher created beings like Satan, demons, angels too, right? And how they interact with God. I did a sermon last year. Some of you guys said that you've had interactions with apparitions, spirits, demons, right? They're real. Don't need to get into all that right now. But I'm going to read this to you. And actually, how much time? Okay, I'll read it quickly. So, for Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. This is right after Jesus came off the boat, Gadarenes, I think. And so he's going up the hill, and there's this demon tormenting a guy and a whole town full of people. For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains. It's like iron, right? Or something stronger, I don't know what they had, and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied. Legions at that time, I looked this up, in Roman culture, in the Roman army, were about 5,000 legionnaires, 5,000 soldiers, right? So if that's a little bit of an exaggeration, fine, you could even say it's 10 times higher, 50. Say 50 demons are possessing this guy. ew, right? That's a lot. It's a lot of these super powerful beings that you just don't want to mess with. 50, 5,000, whatever. Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they did what? They threw down a gauntlet, 5,000 demons. Let's go, son of God. What you got? Oh, El Shaddai. They begged. They didn't think, oh, well, if we just, like, you know, frontal assault with 50 of us and then the other 450, you had to do a pincer maneuver, maybe we could take them. It was none of that. And they had kind of an agreement, right? Like, they get to be here and do their thing for a while we're still here in this phase of existence. And then they go to the abyss, right? No. So, oh, are you sending us there now? We had an agreement. Please? Right? Interdimensional beings of immense power tormenting not just this guy, but a whole town full of people. They anyway, couldn't do anything. They were helpless against one, let alone 5,000. Come El Shaddai. Game over. Love it. Love it. Let's not just talk about demons, right? Now we got angels too. So I'm just going to get into it. This is from Revelation. This is where John is witnessing Eden being restored. And here's, if you want, you can write that down too. Bible Project, learn where heaven and earth overlap. Fascinating, right? Eden, what two parts of the universe were together? Heaven and earth, right? They were one together. Angels coming and going, God coming and going, people seeing all this crazy stuff. When we sinned, heaven had to withdraw. Now we're left, right? And I'll leave you to watch the video, and again, I'm running short on time, but that's where John is right now. He's seeing Jerusalem being dropped down, right? He's seeing heaven and earth coming back together, Garden of Eden being restored, God fixing what we broke. So, I, John, am the one who heard and saw these things, and when I had heard and seen them, I fell down to worship at the feet of the angel who had been showing them to me. But he said to me, don't do that! Dude! Stop! Get up! No. Like, John, dude, I know you're bugging. And you're just chilling on your island retreat, you know? And then we zapped you off, and now you're here. You're seeing future events. You don't know how to explain this stuff, right? You're seeing technology and languages you don't understand. You're freaking out, man. I get it. You're going to see a powerful, interdimensional being turn into a gray spot if you don't get up right now, right? This angel took him places. It took him to the future. He's taking a time trip, space and time and all that, and then it's things like, don't, no. No, worship God, not me. I'd have freaked out too. I don't know what anybody's response would have been. You bow down and worship a thing that's like glowy and like got fire shooting out of its eyes and stuff. And like, don't do that. And how many times do you see exclamation marks, by the way, in the Bible? Sometimes David will get all fired up in the Psalms or Paul when he's writing to the churches. But when people are talking, how often do you see exclamation marks? I don't think too often. Not too often. There are two of them in there. Don't do that! Worship God! Stop it! Like now! Right? Not even a hesitation. All right. And, all right, this is good. We'll finish just about on time. Right. El Shaddai's, think about that for a second. Isn't that crazy? History, not of the past, not even of the present. Right? Like, we're making history right now. Like, the things I just said, I said them, and now they're in the past. I can't go back and unsay them. Right? That's history. It's done. Is the future done? Yeah, it is. Right? But that seems nuts, right? Like, how can we actually believe that there's a history of the future? This is Nostradamus, right? Like, he was like, what, 20% right? And even at that, like, the stuff he got right was like, we'll give you that. It's all right. You got close. Good job. Right? No. So, here's where my confidence comes from with this stuff. And the revelation, let me just say this too. I was going to say it, and I think I have a second here. How many people are freaked out by revelation? I am. Right? Like demons, yeah, demons coming out of the abyss and like wars and famines and pestilence and God's wrath and all that stuff. That's freaky. You know? It's not normal. And like even back in the day, like a demon like that with God, Jesus coming out of the boat and all that, like, there were demons and things, right? But it wasn't like that was every day, you know? It freaks people out. Here's where my confidence comes from, and what I'm reading Revelation, I I get more and more peace the more I read it and the more I dwell on this stuff. So, since all biblical prophecies already fulfilled were 100% accurate, and books like Revelation, Daniel, Isaiah, Ezekiel, and there are more, the prophetic books, still have much more prophecy left to be fulfilled, right? So all of what God said was going to happen happened exactly as he said it would. There's a lot more stuff he says is going to happen. Israel, we're on this next week then, since I'm coming back for another one. God prevails. I just learned that. I didn't know what it meant. Think about that for a second. Israel, they're still here. They shouldn't be. Their faults, Sumerians wanted them dead, Assyrians wanted them dead, Babylonians, Egyptians, like on to present day. Like nobody incites hate like the Jews for doing nothing, for defending themselves. Anyway, God prevails, still exists, provides a testament to God's faithfulness. That's enough for me, quite frankly. They shouldn't be here except for that, right? God's faithfulness. He exists outside of space, time, and matter. He created this. This is here. He's here, but he isn't bound to it. He exists outside of all that. Therefore, we can be 100% confident that his sovereign over all things and his record of future events is 100% accurate. He will restore what was broken, right? He will bring Jerusalem back down. The Garden of Eden's coming back. Are you going to be there? I hope so. I hope so. How marvelous is that? Okay, so I'm going to finish up here. We're going to do a little mind exercise, and then we got some next steps, and then now we're good. Now we're good. Mind exercise. All right. So think about the smallest thing you can think of, smallest. Then you take a second. Think about like something maybe you even haven't seen yet, you've just read about. Like atoms are pretty small, right? Right, tell a neighbor, what'd you come up with? What was it? Tardigrade. Okay. A little water bear. All right. Now, step two. Close your eyes. I'll stay up here, I promise. Close your eyes. All right. Think of something a little bit bigger than that smallest thing you could think of. Just a little bit. A little bit. And now think of something a little bigger than that. A little bigger. A little bigger. Maybe you're into like animals kind of things now. Maybe you're bigger, smaller. It's all good. Wherever you are, think of something a little bit bigger. A little bigger. A little bigger. A little bigger. Bigger still. No. Now think of the biggest thing you can think of. What's the biggest thing you can think of? What do you got? My son's brain just broke, I think. No, I heard. What's the biggest thing you can think of? A dragon? Okay. The head of a dragon. All right. And then what's the biggest thing you can think of? It's not even easy, right? Like, it seems simple. Think about the biggest thing out there. Who else had something? Bigger than a dragon's head. Savannah. A mountain. That's big. Okay, COVID virus to a mountain. The sun, bigger than a mountain. Our solar system, bigger than the sun. The multiverse, you just jumped right ahead to it, didn't you? If it exists, sure, it's probably the biggest thing we can come up with, okay? Now, God is keenly aware, not just aware, keenly aware, right, of the smallest to the largest things anyone thought of. Go back to the omnis. Which of the omnis is that? Omniscience. He knows all about it. Did anybody go to a quark? That's the smallest thing I know of. Former science teacher. So you have atoms, you have subatomic particles, and they believe that there are things smaller than those, and they call them quarks, right? They can't even see atoms. I don't know if you knew that. Can't actually see atoms. They're too small. But we know that they exist, and we know that there are things smaller, and anyway, so quark. That's how small I went. And he also knows about, if it exists, the multiverse, or the universe. About all the stars, all the planets around those stars, all the solar systems, gas clouds, right? The vacuum of space, he knows all of it, literally all of it, anything anybody said. And his spirit is present with the smallest to the largest things anyone thought of. He is omniscient and he is Omnipresent. His omnipresence. He's there with the quarks, chilling. He's there in the multiverse, chilling. And he is fully capable of doing whatever he wishes with the smallest to the largest things anyone thought of. He could just annihilate it all. He could turn it into something new. Whatever he wants. All the stuff you thought of, smallest to largest, all the stuff anybody thought of. What's that called? Do whatever he wants. Omnipotence. There you go. Okay, so that's the time we have for today. I'm so glad I cut this in two. So next steps, they're all up. Cool. So you can do one of these, you can do two, you can do all three. I recommend you do all three. One you're going to come back next week with. So first option, identify what about God causes you to marvel. Maybe it's something you heard today. Maybe it's something you know from before. It could be something like, I marvel at music. I don't know. I don't even know what to say about music. It gets emotions out of you. It is so crucial to our existence. Like, really, think about it. What would life be without music? I don't know. Yeah, it wouldn't be the same. What about God causes you to marvel? Keep your eyes open for a new way to marvel at God this week, every week, right? And then come to the next sermon ready to share something that makes you marvel at God. We'll do that at the start of the next sermon. So I think we've got about a minute, right? And then I'll pray, and then I'll turn it over to Shannon, I think. What's that? Oh, yeah, he's going to sing, and then you can... Not my normal gig. Okay, minutes up. I'm going to throw this up here again. If you want to reference that again, write some things down, check them out later. That's cool. I'm going to pray for us one last time, then I'll turn it over to Matt, who's going to lead us in another song. So, okay. Creator God, Elohim, I thank you for creating all things. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for putting your signature on things, to remind us that we're not alone here, that we're special to you, your image bearers who maybe more often than not we're beating your name up, dragging it through the mud, but through your grace and your mercy you found a way, and you are redeeming every day what is lost. Thank you that we get to be part of that team. Lord God, Yahweh, thank you for not giving up on us. Thank you for your godly jealousy. You know that you know what's best, and we want to believe that we have that kind of power, and we truly do not. It is all an illusion, but what's not an illusion is you and your power and your love for us. Thank you for that, and I thank you also, Lord, for just being as awesome as you are. The demons and angels, man, they got no power over you. They have power over us, if we let them especially, but not over you. There's no argument, no fight to be had when it comes to you and your authority. You are it. El Shaddai. So, again, thank you, Lord, for everyone in here. Thank you for loving us like you do. And I pray that we would keep this marvel in our hearts and just remember who you are and who we are to you throughout the week. In your name I pray.
Thank you, Rick. That was great. And did a really good job of tying all that information back to us personally. So let me tie this last song back to you personally. So knowing what you know now, what Rick has just shared with you, the God that did all that noticed you. And if you don't know Christ right now and you feel your heart like twisting, that's because he's calling you. Don't ignore that. Because the God over all space and time notices you. And I'll share something personal. When the Lord gets my attention, and if you don't experience this, that's fine. I'm not saying that this is normative for the Christian life. But for me, when the Lord is trying to get my attention, he uses a particular name. We talked about a lot of names today. Let me give you one more, because it's special to me. Elroy. That is the name that Hagar used when she was running, and the Lord found her and said, I'm going to take care of you and your son Ishmael. And it means the God who sees me. God sees me when I'm not doing the right thing. He sees me when I'm without hope. He sees me when I'm broken. So when I hear that name, I know he's trying to get my attention about something. So let's sing Amazing Love and remember what the God of everything did for us. Stand up.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted. You were condemned. I'm alive and well. Your spirit is within me. Amazing love.
Good morning. Just a couple of announcements. There's a lot in your program you can check out, but it's been mentioned a couple times, but the group going to camp are 2 hours into their, not even sure how long the total trip is, maybe 5 hours trip. So please be in prayer for them. The students from Cornerstone are Ethan, Daniel, and Will. And then there's some kids from Oasis and some friends and other local churches. So there's 3 vanfuls that went. So definitely be in prayer for safety and for spiritual growth this week while they are all at camp. And for Nate, who will be at Solitude this week, he goes into the woods and is by himself and reads and explores. Safety for him, too, because you never know what he's going to find in the woods. So they will be back next Saturday. And then today, if you are free, the Kutztown Police Department is celebrating 100 years of service, and they're putting on a celebration at the park that's open to the public from 2 to 7. There's food, games, giveaways, and a movie going to be playing in the band shell. So if anybody wants to go check that out, feel free to do so. And then finally, check out the sign-up sheet downstairs for Kutztown Day. That is next Sunday. And Cornerstone will have a stand there. We're looking for volunteers from probably 11:30 to 5 or 5:30 for a cleanup. A couple hour shifts, and if you're free, please sign up, and that would be great. All right, otherwise, snacks and fellowship downstairs. Have a good week.